We're going to start with the Mishnah on Yudal and Amudet. The Mishnah starts with the Mishnah is about a case that happened. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ma'aseh b'tinoket sheyardah l'malot mayim min ha'ayin. Okay, a young girl went to, right, tinoket doesn't mean an infant. Okay, she obviously was going to fill up water from the well, from the ma'ayan, from the stream. She goes to get water, v'ne'ensa, and on the way she gets raped. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, im rov anshei ha'ir mesi'in l'kihuna. Again, our question, right? What's our question? Can we assume we know the status of the guy that she who slept with her? In which case, remember, if she gets raped by someone who is like a mamzer and a teen, all those kind of people, she can't marry a kohen, right? Remember, there's a distinction here between a married woman and a non-married woman. I just want to clarify. We learned already that if a married woman gets raped, she can't go back to her husband if he's a kohen. But this is not that case. That would be any man. Any man rapes a woman who's married to a kohen, she's not allowed to be married back to her husband. It's a terrible situation. Whereas if she's not married to a kohen, she can stay married to her husband. Only if she cheats on him, she can't. She has to get divorced from him. But in this case, she's not married at all. In which case, a woman who gets raped by anyone is okay to a kohen. It's just a matter of, was this man a mamzer and a teen and eved, any of those psulei chitun that would passel her then to marry a kohen later. So now we don't know the status of this guy. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Im rov anshei ha'ir mesi'in l'kehuna, harezo tinase l'kehuna. If most of the people in the city are kosher, are good, come from good yichus, then we can marry her off to a kohen. Okay? Now, what?
Even if they go around raping.
Even if they go around raping people, yes. Yes, exactly. Tough to follow. Anyway, that's the situation. Amarle Rava le Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri de Amar Keman. The Gemara is going to have a big, Rava's going to have a big difficulty with this Mishnah. It doesn't seem to fit in with anything we learned before. Why? We had the two approaches, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Remember them? Do we believe the woman or do we not believe the woman? Now, there's a big jump you have to make here, okay, that the Mefarshim all talk about, which is that Mapit Om, we're getting into Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, because they talked about, is the woman believed or not? In this Mishnah, it doesn't say anything about the woman claims. The assumption, you would think, is that the woman doesn't know who raped her and what his status was, right? Yeah. So most of the Mefarshim say, since he's putting it into the Machloka of Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, it must be a case, because remember, we finished up yesterday by saying, the whole thing of Rabban Gamliel is that she makes a Bari claim. She says, I know this guy's okay. And that's what we're going to believe her, according to Rabban Gamliel, because she's sure in her claim. So a lot of the Rishonim say here, it must be that she was Toein Tana Bari. She says, I know the guy who raped me, and he was okay. Okay, that's like one jump you have to make here with the Mishnah, in order to understand what's going on, okay? So just to recap, those coming in, it's very important you understand this before we move on. We have a Mishnah, a woman goes down to the Mayan, she gets raped. We don't know the status of the guy, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, and this was a case that happened, not just a theoretical case, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, if most of the people in the city are kasher l'kehuna, right, or mesi'in l'kehuna, then we can marry her off to a kohen. We can assume the status is okay. And like I just said, since the Gemara, Rava, brings this all into the categories of Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, who had a machloket about when the woman claims, right, do we believe the woman's claim? Most of the Rishonim say here, and we'll go with that approach, that we're talking about where the woman who was raped gave a ta'anat bari. She said, I know this guy's okay. And then and then Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, well, based on the fact that she says bari, if rova the people are ksherim, then we can go by that. Now, this is going to create the problem, because if you recall what we learned in the previous case, the previous sugya, was that, we'll read it now, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar le Rava le Rav Nachman, okay, we're at the beginning of the Gemara in Yudal and Amabet at the bottom, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri de Amar, come on, who does he hold like? Ikir Rabban Gamliel, that we believe the woman, afilu b'rov psulim nami machshir. We already said that Rabban Gamliel, when he says we believe the woman, he doesn't care about rov. Rov doesn't factor in at all. Even if rov or psulim, if the woman has a tanat bari, we're going to believe her. And Iki Rabbi Yeshua, and if we're going to hold like Rabbi Yeshua, who doesn't believe the woman, afilu b'rov k'sherim nami pasil. He thinks that whether we have rov k'sherim, rov psulim, he also thinks this has nothing to do with rov. Okay? So, because what does he say, right? He says, we don't accept her claim, right? So, we don't accept her claim no matter what. So now, what's this rov, when Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that rov is the issue here, how can that be? Okay, you follow? Our whole thing we established yesterday is rov does not come into play at all. So now, the Gemara is going to answer, or he's going to answer. Amar Leh, he asked Rav Nachman a question. Rav Nachman answers like this. This is what we call, by the way, before I get into it, what he's going to do now is what's called an ukimta. An ukimta is when you take a Mishnah and you say that the Mishnah is not dealing with what you a basic case, like you think. It's talking about a very particular case, which the Mishnah neglected to mention, okay, which is always a question, right? How could the Mishnah have neglected to mention something so basic, okay? The Mishnah neglected to mention, and why the Gemara does this, the Amoraim do this, because they can't possibly see the Mishnah any other way. So they basically say it must be that this is what the Mishnah is talking about, okay? So we'll see this lots more times. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, this case must have been, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Bikronot shel Tzipori haya ma'aseh. It must have been on the Yom HaShuk in Tzipori. Okay, it happened there. Okay, what's unique about the Yom HaShuk? That lots of people come through, okay, because they come to sell their stuff. People from all other cities around come to sell their stuff. Now, why is this important? Because, here, we'll read a little bit more and then I'll explain. Ukidu Rabbi Ami, and it goes like Rabbi Ami, Da'ama Rabbi Ami, V'hu shahaitasi asho b'nei adam k'shirim overet l'sham. Rabbi Ami said that when can we follow Rov? Okay, we're going to call this, we call Trey Ruben. Okay, what is Trey? A Treyasar? Trey is two. When you have two Rovs working in your favor, then we can follow the Rov. Okay, when it's only one Rov, that's when Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel say Rov doesn't come into play here. But if you have two Rovs, now what are the two Rovs? You have the people of the city, the Rov people in the city are sharing. In addition, you have all these people who are coming through, and they are also Rubam Ksherim. They're Jewish Socharim, you know, who are selling things. So if most of the people coming through the city and most of the people who live in the city are Ksherim, then we can hold by Rov and allow this, okay? And then it would be, you know, according to both of them, really, right? Rabbi Yeshua would even agree in this case that we can believe and say it's Ksherim because we have two Rovs. He doesn't hold by one Rov, but he holds by two Rovs. And Rav Gamliel was Machshir in any case, even if Rov were Psulim. Okay? So, now we're going to have a whole... We're not supposed to understand this fully yet. We're going to go on and understand this. What I said before we started is this is one of the most basic sugyas of Shas. Okay? It's all about DNA Rov, how we follow Rov, in which cases we say Rov, in which cases we don't say Rov. And we're going to get into some very basic concepts here. Okay.
So just a quick question. How does this concept of Rov tie in with the plausibility of the woman's claim? Does this mean now we don't really care what she says, she's not important at all, we only look at the Rov?
So basically, what we say is if we have one Rov in our favor, then we're going to have a machloket, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, whether or not Rov doesn't matter, okay? Once we have two Rovs, then we side with her. In other words, then it's not even that we believe her or not. You don't even need a ta'ana. Just go by Rov. Uh-huh. Unless you have reason to prove other. You know, if you can have a proof, then you have a proof. This is all, and we don't have a proof. So in a case where there's two Rovs, like this case, we just say, we assume it's the guy's kasher. Okay? So now we're going to say this also goes like Rabbi Yanai. Okay? We're going to bring another two guys who seem to corroborate with what Rav said. Ukidu Rabbi Yanai, de Amar Rabbi Yanai, niv'ela bikronot k'shera l'kihuna. Okay, we're going to cut off Rabbi Yanai in the middle and get back to him in a second because the Gemara is going to say, what are you talking about? Niv'ela bikronot, if she has sex in the karon, okay, that's like in the shayara, okay, she's in the car kind of thing, okay, she's k'shera l'kihuna. So the Gemara says, bikronot salgadatach? What do you mean? Who's raping her in the karon? Like, why specifically in the karon? So they say, no, that's not what he meant. He meant niv'elet bishat kronot k'shera l'kuna, in which case is exactly what Rav said. That if it's in the time when the shayarot are coming through, the yom hashuk, right, then we can assume that we have the two rovs and it's good. we can say she's kshira. This obviously is only if Rov the Sayaodo Kshirot and Rov the city is kashir, right? Just to make that clear. It can't be that non-Jewish Soharim are coming in or you know, full of Avadim or whatever it might be, Mamzerim, etc. Aval, now here's the continuation of Rabbi Yanai. Aval Peresh Echad Mitzipori Uba'al, but if a guy comes out of the city and sleeps with her, right, or rapes her, Havlad Shtuki, then we have to assume that the Vlad is Shtuki. Right? Remember, that's Mishat Kimoto, right? Anytime the kid says, that's my father, they quiet him down because we don't know who the father is, right? The mother says, shh, that's not your father. Meaning, he can't marry, right? At least we said, yesterday we proved sometimes a shtuki. Good, but anyway, the basic shtuki case is pasul kuna. Okay, so here you have, Rabbi Yana says the same thing. When there's one rov, it's no good. When there's two rovs, it's okay. Kiha, now this is also like, to Kiata Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he brought down the Torah from Eretz Yisrael, and what did he tell us? Amar Ze'eri, Amar Rabbi Chanina. He said the name is Ze'eri, he said the name of Rabbi Chanina. And the Amar Ela, some people say that it wasn't when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, just people said it in the name of Rabbi Ze'era, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Hochin achar rov ha'ir be'ein hochin achar rov si'a. Okay, so first he's going to say something, then we're going to say that doesn't make any sense, and we're going to later explain it. So far we don't yet know why this corroborates with what we said, but in a minute we'll see. So his statement was, we follow the rov ha'ir and we don't follow the rov of the people outside the city, the shayarot coming through. So now they say, what are you talking about? Klapelaya. It should be the opposite. Okay? Hane naide v'hane kviya v'kaime. Okay, before we go on, we have to start. Now, these are the two basic concepts you have to know. We're going to learn more about them today. Okay, I'll put them on the board so that they get ingrained in your head because these are very, very basic concepts. Okay? Kol de parish, miruba parish, and kol kavua, kimechtze al mechtze dam. Okay, what does this mean? Okay, I'm going to already jump ahead to what we're going to learn later in the sugya because it's hard to move on without this. I could try to just say, wait a minute, and you'll understand later, but I'd rather explain it. The classic case, which we're going to see later on the page, we've learned this before actually, are there's 10 stores. 9 of them are kosher stores, and 1 of them is a non-kosher store. Now, if you go into this store, okay, any store, you don't know which store, or let's say you bought a piece of meat, you get home and you say, oh my God, I don't remember, which store did I go into? Did I mess up and go into the non-kosher one? And you have no idea. That's a case of kavua. Why is it kavua? You bought the meat in its location, okay, its original location. First, I'm going to explain to you the halakha, then I'll give you one approach to understanding it. There's different approaches to understanding it. It's a complicated halacha to understand, but anyway, in other words, meaning it's not so clear-cut why this is the case. But I'll give you one explanation that to me makes sense. So if you buy it in the store where it belonged to, okay, then we say it's got a 50-50 chance of being kosher. Okay, meaning you can't eat this meat because it's also got a 50-50 chance of not being kosher. Even though there's 10 stores, 9 out of 10 are kosher, but since the meat was bought in its original location, it's kavua, okay? It's from its original location, it's there. Therefore, now it's in your house, but that doesn't matter. Where'd you buy it? You bought it from its original location. The question is, were you in a kosher store or were you in the non-kosher store, okay? And why is that the case? Because we're looking now at the object. The object is either kosher or it's not kosher, right? It's 50-50, okay? But kol de parish miruba parish. Let's say there's a piece of meat in the middle of the street, okay? And these 10 stores are all around, or they're the only 10 stores in the city. We'll see, is it only in the case where the doors to the gates to the city are locked and there's no other meat coming in from anywhere else? Anyway, let's just assume right now. You find this piece of meat in the middle of the street. This piece of meat came from somewhere, right? Kol de parish, it came. It was poresh from its original location. It's no longer sitting in its original location. The question is no longer, is this object kosher or not kosher? The question is, where did this object come from? And when you ask the question, where did this object come from? Now you have a 9 out of 10 chance that it came from a kosher store. And therefore you can follow Dine Rov. That's one way of looking at this distinct. Again, there's other explanations. Anybody wants, you can try Googling it. You can read them. You can look through them. There's actually, whatever. There's different things you can find on it. But that's a basic.
So basically, it's better if
I would say this goes by the object, and this goes by the, you know, where did it come from, right?
So it's better if you don't know where it comes from, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Okay, so now, when it comes to our theme, which is going to be more of the, which is the kavua and which is the parish?
The people coming in
and out are the ones that we're more likely to say we're going to follow Rove. And the people in the city are kavua, so we're not going to follow Rove when it comes to that. So that's exactly why his statement is problematic. What does he say? Let's look again. Rabbi Zeira Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hochim acharov ha'ir ve'ein hochim acharov si'ah. It should be the opposite, right? That's what the Gemara says. Klapelaya, it should be the opposite. Hane naide, those guys who are the rov si'ah are nayadim. They're moving, right? And Hane, the people in the city, are kfi avakaimid. They're kfu'im in the city. So Ela, it must be Hochim acharov ha'ir. There must have been a problem in the transmission of what he said, and this is what he said. You can follow Rov Ha'ir only if you also have Rov Si'ah, which now corroborates what Rav said, and that was the whole reason we were bringing him. Right? So in the re-understanding of what this guy says, it must be the same as what Rav said, which is only when you have both Rovs. In other words, right? Okay? Okay, sorry. Ve'ein hochina harov ha'ir grei data. You can't follow rov ha'ir by itself. Ve'lo achar rov si'ah grei data. You can't follow either one on its own. Ah, well, now that's a problem, because what did we say? The rov si'ah we should be able to follow. If you knew that this guy came from one of the people coming in and out, you should be able to follow it. So now the Gemara is going to have to explain, why are we not following rov in the rov si'ah? Okay, but the main thing to get first is that in the end they say that what Rabbi Chanina said was you can only follow Rov Ha'ir when you have Rov Si'ah, and you can't follow the Rov of either one of them independently. So far that corroborates what Rav said, but now we're left with a question about the Rov Si'ah. Why can't, if you know for sure that the guy who raped her came from outside the city, I don't know how you would know, but let's say you knew, let's say she was outside the city, right? And then you only have the people passing by who are the issue. So then you would have Rov Si'ah. And then the question is, why don't you follow just that? And we're going to learn that right now. My taima, okay, what's the reason? Gzeira rov si'ah atu rov ha'ir. In this case, they made a gzeira. They said, even though normally we would say rov si'ah, if it's just the people from the shayarot, those people are called the parish, miruba parish, we should follow rov, and if rov k'sherim, it should be okay. We're not going to allow it in this case. Why? Gzeira atu rov ha'ir. Because we're not allowing rov ha'ir, we're going to make a gzeira also in the rov si'ah case. You follow? Okay? So we want to make a gzeira here. So we make a gzeira. Now they're going to say rov ha'ir nami. Even rov ha'ir, we're going to have a question. Why? Depends what happened. Idika azla inhu ligaba, called the parish miruba parish. If this guy came out of his house, how did we say kavua? Yes, he's kavua in the city, but if he came out of his house and went and raped this woman somewhere else, like if he comes to her house and rapes her in her house, or somewhere outside his house, then he's already called a parish. He came out of his house, right? That's already called a parish, miruba parish. So they say, lo tzricha deka'az la'ihi legabayhu, bahave lekavua. It means that she went into his house and he raped her there. And that would be the situation. So now there's two ways to understand this line. I don't want to get too much into details, but some people say it's only in that case that you would say that Rov Ha'ir would be usher if she comes to his house. Or some people read, which makes more sense, which is that since that possibility exists, we're going to always forbid Rov Ha'ir. Okay? Since there is a possibility that Rov Ha'ir could be a kavua case, which would be she would come to his house, then that would be, you would then say in all cases, we're going to say Rov Ha'ir is a problem because of that. And then we make a gzera on Rov Si'ah because of Rov Ha'ir. Okay, so that's how we get to the fact that all this is problematic. So we find one case where this in the city could be kavua. So that's Rov Ha'ir. And Rov Ha'ir, we're going to say, is 50-50 chance, and therefore we're not going to allow her to marry a Kohen. And then we're going to say Rov Si'ah, even though in theory it should be permitted, because it's called Parish Meruba Parish, and we should be allowed to rely on the fact that this guy's kasher, we're not going to, just so the people don't come to Matir, Rov Ha'ir. Okay?
Gzera lava gzera.
What?
Isn't that gzera lava gzera?
Because you're saying this is a gzera because not every case is kavua. No, because you're going to assume, right, so it depends how you read that Gemara. You could say Rov Ha'ir is only usher in the case where she goes to his house, and then you have a bit of a problem. What if he goes out? And then it's a bit of a, I agree, there's a bit of a jump here. But that's how they understand. So now they're going to ask some more questions. Okay. Okay, not yet. Let's go on. Okay, the Amar Rabbi Zeira. Kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami. Okay, so now we're going back, right? Rabbi Zeira says, kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami. That connected to what we just said. Okay, so it's when she goes to him, and that's kavua, and Rabbi Zeira said, he's the guy who said it, kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami, period. Okay, now we're going to say, umi be'inan tre rube? What do you mean? We just said, right, this whole thing was based on the fact that you need two robes. But the Hatanya, doesn't it say in the Braita? Here we get to our Tesha Chanuyot case. Tesha Chanuyot, kulam mechura pasar shkuta, v'echad mocher pasar nevela, v'lakach me'echad mehem, v'eino yodeh me'ezah mehen lakach, sveko asur. Right? If you went into one of those stores and bought a piece of meat, and you don't know which one you bought it from, the sapek is asur because it's 50-50. U'benimtza, if the piece was just sitting there in the middle, right? Halach achar haro. That's what we said so far. So now, what do you see here? Wait, we only follow one rove, right? Called a parish, miruba parish. We follow one rove, so why in our case do we need two roves? Okay, so v'chi teima b'she'en daltot medina ne'ulot deka'ate le'ruba me'alma. Maybe the case is, if you want to say, remember, by the way, this is just methodological, whenever you see v'chi teima, they're always going to reject it, right? It's kind of saying, if you want to try to answer up my question by saying this, I can already tell you I have an answer for that, okay? If you're going to say that there are trei rov in the case of the Tesha Chanuyot, why are there two roves? Because maybe you're talking about when the city doors are unlocked, and the assumption is the city gates are unlocked, meaning food's coming in from, right, you could almost say they have a free trade policy, right? Food's coming in from other places, in which case you find this piece of meat, you have two roves. You have the rove of the city, and you have to assume, by the way, that all the cities around are kosher. Okay, and anything else coming into the city will be kosher food. So then maybe you would say that, and then the Tesha Chanuyot case really does have two robes. But you can't say that because Ha'amar Rabbi Zeira, who said this whole klal, said, you know, who said kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami, af al pi shel daltot medina ne'ulot. Okay, so now we have a question. It's really, you could ask the question differently, which is, why do we say we follow two robes here? Because we made a gzera, rov si'a, because of rov ha'ir. In the Tesha Chanuyot, we weren't gozer the basar hanimtza in the middle of the street because of the basar you buy in the store. So why do we make gzera here and we don't make gzera there? And here we're going to have a very simple answer. Ma'ala asu b'yuchsin. When it comes to the yichus, they were more machmir. Okay? In order to allow you to marry a kohen, we're going to have a higher standard. And we're going to make trei rov, when in a regular case, you don't need trei rov. Okay? Tov. Now we're going to get more into Rabbi Zeira and Kol Kavua Kemechzal Mechzadami. I want to explain a little bit here. Rabbi Zeira is an Emora, okay? The Braita of Tesha Chanuyot is a Braita. It comes from the time of the Tanaim. Okay, the time of the Tanaim, just to give a little history again, it's always good to review. Tanaim were 0 to 200. The literature we have from them are Mishnayot, Toseftas, Braitas, which are things that were never collected in a book, but get quoted in the Mishnah all the time. Like when it says Vahatanya, that's a Braita. They're quoting a Braita, that's... So they quote something that was written somewhere, right, or that was recited by people, they memorized them. So that always has a higher status. And then the Amoraim come later, they're from 200 to 500, and they're commenting on the Braitot and the Mishnayot and all the literature from there. We also have Midrashei Halacha, like the Mechilta, the Sifra, Sifrei Safra. Those are books that are written similar to the Mishnah, but they're written according to the order of the Torah. The Mishnah was written in terms of a different order of topics, and the Midrashei Halacha were connected to the Pesukim much more. So they generally connect the Halacha and learn it out from the Pesuk. That's the method, but it's the same content for the most part. I mean, obviously you'll see different gishot and different approaches, but lots of times they quote Midrashei Halacha in the text also. Okay, so now the Tesha Chanuyot was a Braita, and we're going to see Tesha Tzfardeim and Tesha Shratzim and a bunch of different cases about it, okay? The Chanuyot is the most famous. But Rabbi Zeira came and gave it a name, okay? In other words, the Amoraim, right? The Tanaim often just give cases, and the Amoraim, he gave it a name. He said, kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami. That's the top. So now we're getting into what he said. Bein lekula bein lechumra, he says. Okay, this is an interesting one. We go 50-50 to be machmir and to be mekel. So now the Gemara is going to say, where do we get this from that you can use it to be mekel? Because all the sugyas we saw are machmir, right? Like our case is a machmir case, right? Both our case and the case of the Tesha Chanuyot were machmir. You have to say, we have to assume this meat is not kosher. So now they're going to say, where do we get it from? And now they're Rabbi Zeira ha. Where does he know? So what he adds that the Braita didn't say was that it's also Likula. So we're going to bring a bunch of different Braita until we finally find one where it goes Likula. We're just quoting what we learned already. That case, when he says, right, we're going to treat that piece of meat that you bought in the store as 50-50, we're going on chumra. Okay, now what happens with a tzvardeya? A tzvardeya, a dead tzvardeya, isn't metame, Adam. But a sheretz, who's dead, is metame adam. It touches a person, a sheretz falls on you, you're tame. Okay? So now, here's another case, just like that case. Tish'at tzvardeim b'sheretz echad b'nehem. Okay? There's 9 frogs and 1 sheretz mixed up together. V'naga b'echad mehem v'eni yodea b'ez mehem naga. He touched one of them, he doesn't know which one he touched. Sveiko tame, we're going to assume he's tame. So again, what do we say? 50-50. It could be tame, it could be not tame, even though 9 out of 10 are tahor. Okay, we're going to treat it. This is lechumra again. Okay, we're going to treat it lechumra. So this obviously isn't going to be our answer. Hatamnami lechumra. Okay, that's what they say. It's also lechumra. Ella, but now we're going to find the case. Tish'a shratzim b'tzvardeya acha b'nehem. Okay, there's 9 shratzim and 1 tahor. Now it's going to depend where you did it. This is halacha. I'm not going to get into all the details of this and why this is. But right now, we'll see it again and we'll get into it more then because there's too many concepts today. But there's a concept that if you find something that's safek tumah in Rishud Yachid, I think we've seen this before, by the way, we're going to say the safek, it's safek tumah. Okay, if it's safek tumah, we're going to treat it as tumah. But if you find it in Rishud HaRabim, we're going to say safek tumah is tahor. Okay, you're not sure if it's tame or tahor, we're going to assume it's tahor. Okay, there's a klal. They say they learned it out from sota. I don't want to get into the details, but that a sota dafke is tame'ah when she's beseter in a reshudei yachid. Right, that's when we assume that she might have slept with the guy and we make her drink the waters. Whereas if she was out in public with the guy schmoozing with him, we don't assume that they had sex together. So they learn it from the sota that a safek tuma in reshudei yachid is tame, and a safek tuma in reshudei yachid, I'm sorry, reshudei rabim is tahor. So now. No, not because of oil. No, no, no. This isn't too much oil. Too much sheretz isn't.
No,
that's only too much
made. It can also be oil. Therefore,
I don't think it comes from Dine oil, as far as I recall. I don't know. Okay. I don't think it has anything to do with it because Rishud Echi could also be open. It could be a private area that's just yeah. Okay. So now, so now they say what happens. So if you touch one of these and you don't know which one, if it's Rishud Echid, then it goes into Dine Rishud Echid. What are we going to say? Sveiko Tameh. But if it's in Rishud Arabim, Sveiko Tahor. Here you see. Why is Sveiko Tahor? 9 out of 10 say it was a sheretz. But since we have this halacha of Rishud Arabim, Sveiko Tameh, Sveiko Tahor, we're going to assume it's Tahor despite the Din of Rov. So we're basically going to override Rove here because it's got a 50-50 chance. And therefore, we have one klal that Rishud HaRabim Sveiko Tahor. You would say maybe Rove will beat out that klal here because the Rove, it's 9 out of 10. They say, no, it doesn't because we're in the 50-50. It's kavua, right? It's sitting there. So it's kemechtzal mechtzadame. And therefore, we're going to basically say, Dine Rove don't work here. And there we see this klal goes lekula. Okay. Now, we're going to say, assuming what Rabbi Zera says, which is kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzadame, is can work even lekula, then you must say that this halacha is d'oraita. Because if it's d'rabanan, we can always be machmir and say, right, let's be machmir and say 50-50, you know, we'll be machmir. But if you're going to be mekel, this halacha must be d'oraita. So now the Gemara is going to say, well, if it's d'oraita, then where do we learn it from? Umi d'oraita menalan. Well, how do we know that this halacha is d'oraita, that we can go be mekel? So Amar Kra, the pasuk says, now here's a pasuk, if you recall in Devarim Yutet, there's a whole thing about the Ir Miklat, when you go to an Ir Miklat. And in discussing Ir Miklat, which is you go if you kill someone accidentally, they talk about intentional death and when you're obligated in intentional death. So now, what do they say? The pasuk says, Va'aravlo v'kamalav. This is the case where Yochai b'mezid, if you aravlo, you kind of, you know, went and attacked him, ambushed him, thank you. Ad sheyitkaven lo, they darshan. Okay? Rabbi Shimon says, this means, it doesn't say Rabbi Shimon here, but it's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Until you're mitkaven to kill this particular guy, meaning, if I intended to kill someone, and I accidentally killed someone else, right? I was thinking this happens all the time with these assassinated, you know, we try to assassinate these people in Hamas, right? You try to kill one guy and you accidentally kill the other guy because, you know, it was a miss. Ad sheyitkaven lo, you're not chayev. Okay, you're not chayav if you intended. Now, you have to understand one basic concept. Okay, the rest of the stuff is going to be a little disturbing in the open-minded world that we live in of Jews and non-Jews shouldn't be treated differently. But there's no chiyuv mavet. Okay, you don't get killed if you kill a non-Jew. You only get onesh mavet for killing a Jew. So now, we'll see how this goes. So now, if you intended to kill one guy and you killed someone else, even if he was a Jew, right? You killed a Jew, but you weren't intending to kill that Jew. So you wouldn't be chayav, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbanan don't agree with that. Rabbanan think if you intended to kill, we don't care who you killed another Jew, you're going to be killed. So what do they say with this pasuk ba'aravlo? Debe Rabbi Yanai, Amre Debe Rabbi Yanai, they say from the house of Rabbi Yanai, prat lezarek evan lego. What does that mean? Lego is from migo, mitoch, from okay? So let's say there's a circle of people, and you throw a rock inside. So you just throw a rock into that group. So you didn't intend to kill any one particular person, you just threw the rock randomly into the group. Then you're putter. So now they're going to say, well, in what case are you putter? Hechidami. Elam, and you were intending to kill by throwing this rock, okay? But in which case you're going to be putter? Elam adi'ika tish'a k'na'anim be'echad Yisrael b'nehem. In other words, if he throws it into a circle of people where there's 9 non-Jews and 1 Jew, then we're obviously going to follow Rov and say, obviously you're putcher because you didn't intend to kill a Jew probably, right? Chances are you weren't intending for the Jew. And inami, palgu palga, and even if you look at it as half-half, 50-50, safek nefasha lahakil. We're not going to kill you if we're not sure what your intentions were, okay? If it's safek nefasha, we're made kelabis. So therefore, what do they say? Lo tzricha di'ika tisha Yisraelim uknani acha b'nehem. Let's say there were 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew. Dehava le k'nani kavua. The k'nani is a kavua here. So kol kavua kemechzal mechzadame. And therefore, even if there's 9 Yisraelim and 1 Jew, I'm sorry, 9 Yisraelim and 1 non-Jew, we're going to say the chances that you were attempting to kill a non-Jew are 50-50. Because that non-Jew is kavua. He's kavua in this group. And kol kavua kemechzal mechzadami. And that's what the chiddush is. That's what the Debei Rabbi Yanai, when they say it's prat lezarek evan lego, that we're going to treat this as 50-50. And here you see a do'oraita halacha. Okay, it's a drasha mi do'oraita. But when it says ve'aravlo, and only if you intend, are you chayav, right? And not if you just threw a rock into a group. It can't be when there's 9 goyim, that's obvious. And it can't be when there's, so it must be when there's 9 Jews and 1 k'nani, and the chiddush is prat lezarek evan lego. In that case, you're still putcher because it's not a 9 out of 10, it's not a 1 in 10 chance that you were trying to kill a non-Jew. It's a 50-50 chance. And therefore, we're not going to kill you. Because safek nefasha lahakel. So if it's 50-50, we're not going to kill you. Okay? So there we see midoraita, we can learn it out. Okay?
But is that only nefashot or is it also...
Only nefashot. Because I would assume. Right. Right. I don't know what the case... Right. It's learned out from nefashot. But from there, you can learn this klal of kol kavua kemechzal mechzadam. In other words, the sefing nefashot lahachel means he's patur. But the mechzal mechzad doesn't matter. In other words, the point is we look at it as 50-50. What you do with that depends on what you're... situation is. Sometimes you're suffek lachachmir. In this case, you'll be suffek lahakel, but that's not what's relevant. The relevance is that we look at it as 50-50. That's the chiddush. That the halacha teaches us from the words va'aravlo, and we say it's prat lezarek evan lego, which must be in a case where there's 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew, and that teaches us 50-50. Okay, that we look at it as 50-50, and there we have a source in the Torah for kol kavua. It's not exactly the best perfect source, because it doesn't exactly say it in the Torah, but that's how they darshan it from the Torah. Okay. Itmar. Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amarav, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. Okay, Rav Chiya bar Rav Paskins, like Rabbi Yossi, like our Mishnah. Okay, where, again, what do we say? Tre rube, right? 2 roves, we can allow it. The Rav Chanan bar Rav Amar, hora'at sha'ahita. What does he say? That whole case was a unique case, and there was a specific reason to matir this girl, and it was a one-off, and we can't learn from it lahalacha. Okay, interesting. So now, Matif Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a question. It's going to be a difficult question to understand. The Gemara is going to immediately reject his question. He said, oh my God, but he forgot some basic things. So don't worry that you're not understanding his question. Matif Rabbi Yirmiyah, uli yuchsin lo be'inan trei rube. You don't need trei rube for yuchsin. Okay, now why you, already his question is problematic. You do need trei rube for yuchsin. We just said that. So that's the whole problem. But he's going to say, don't you need trei rube for yuchsin, and you're not needing it? Because why? The hatznan, and they're asking a question on this psak, that we paskin like the Mishnah. How could that be that we only have one rove in the Mishnah? Okay, and they're going to say, you basically forgot that the Mishnah is two roves. Okay, but right now he's asking, because we have a Mishnah that says, matzaba tinok mushlach. You find a baby on the street. Okay? Im rov ovdei kochavim, if most of the people in the city are ovdei kochavim, you can assume this baby is an ovdei kochavim. Okay, we're going to see what the relevance is for this. Im rov Yisrael, Yisrael, if most of the people in the city are Yisrael and you find a random baby on the street, you can assume the baby is a Jew. Mechza al mechza, Yisrael. If it's 50-50, we're going to treat this baby as a Yisrael. Ve'amarav, and Rav said, now Rav is going to be important here, because why? Because the psak halacha was, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi says in the name of Rav that the halacha is like the Mishnah. And Rav Yirmiyah is assuming that the Mishnah only has one rov, which we're going to correct him in a minute. But he's saying, doesn't the Mishnah only have one rov? And Rav paskin, we hold by one rov. And in this case, what does Rav say? Rav says, lo shanu ela l'hachayoto. Okay, what does that mean? If you have to support this guy, in other words, you have this baby, you don't know if he's, right, we're going to treat him as 50-50. If it's Mechzal Mechza, we're going to treat him as a Yisrael, right? If it's Rov of Yechovim, we're going to treat him of Yechovim. If Rov Yisrael, we're going to treat him as Yisrael. That Mishnah is only said to basically, you have to financially give him food, okay? Aval Yochsin lo. But for Yochsin, we're not going to treat him as a Yisrael, particularly in the Mechzal Mechza case, right? And even maybe in the Rov Yisrael, it's not clear. So it seems like even the Rov Yisrael, we're not going to treat him. To allow him, if we see this random baby on the street, we're not going to allow him to marry a Kohen. So what do you see? We don't follow Dine Rove for Yochsin. One Rove is not enough. Ushmuel Amar, this isn't relevant for our discussion, this is just a machloket, which we're going to actually get into in a minute. Shmuel says, the relevance of this machloket is lefakeach alav etagal, if it's Shabbat, and a whole bunch of rocks fall down, a building falls apart, are you allowed to take off the rocks which are mukta? To take them off to save this baby underneath. If you don't know, right, that's why I said this whole sugya is very problematic. Okay, if you don't know he's a Jew, and comes Shmuel and says, that's what this din of Safek. We're going to treat him, unless Rov is Ovei Kochavim, right, as long as it's 50-50, we're going to treat this kid as a Jew, and we're going to allow ourselves to lefakech alav taga. Okay, so now again, why do we bring this? Because it's only one Rov, and here we see we don't go by Rov for Yochsin, and in our Mishnah we do. So what do they say? Ishtemite had Amarav Yehuda. Amarav, you forgot what Amarav, Rabbi Yirmiyah forgot when he asked this question, where Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, the Bikronot Shel Tzipori have a maaseh. And therefore, it was two robes. Okay? So again, we see this corroborates what we said. For Yuchsin, you need Trei Rube. One robe is not enough. Ularav, we're going to get back to this case, this Machloka Rav and Shmuel. Okay? The Gemara brings it, then they're going to get into it. But in the meantime, we're going to have one more thing before we get there. Ularav Chanan bar Rava de Amar Horaat Sha'aita Kasha. Kasha. So Rav Chanan bar Rava says it was a Horaat Sha'a. Why wouldn't we follow Trei Rube? Right? Why does he say it was a one off and normally we can't go by this? Just in that time, you know, that case was a unique case and they paskin, he was okay, but why not? If there's Trei Rube, why wouldn't you paskin that way? So now they just say very simply, Hai man de Maneha, lo Maneha. That was his answer. In other words, he didn't think it was Bikorno Shel Tzipori. He thought it was just one row. Okay? You understand? Rav answered, it was two rows, and that's why they montured it. He answered, no, it was a Hora'at Sha'a. You understand? And he had a whole different approach, right? This was Rav Chanan bar Rava, who also said in the name of Rav, by the way. Okay? So there were two different versions of what Rav said. Some say that Rav thought it was Bikorno Shel Tzipori, and you needed two rows. And some said that Rav explained that it was a one-off. It was really only one rove, and it was a one-off, and that's why they matched it. But normally, they wouldn't match it this kind of thing.
So, how did Rav Chanan bar Rava answer the baby question?
Right. Why would he say we wouldn't hold the yuchsin low? It's a good question. So he would hold that. He probably would hold that Rav didn't hold that it was liyuchsin low. that it was also for Yochsin. Because the Mishnah is not a problem. It's just Rav's explanation of the Mishnah. He must have held that Rav didn't have that explanation of the Mishnah.
Okay.
That's the answer. Okay, so now we're going to go into this case, Gufa. Okay, we'll finish off here for today. We'll get up to the end of the parak. Matzah batinok mushlach. Imrov ovdei kochavim, ovei kochavim. Imrov Yisrael mechza mechza. Imrov Yisrael Yisrael, right? If most of the people are Jews, then we'll assume this baby was Jewish. Mechza mechza Yisrael. Okay, this is all just repetition. Amar Rav, Rav says, lo shanu ela lachayoto, to support him, give him food. We're responsible only if he's a Jew. Right, again, a little difficult to understand. Anyway, we're only going to support this kid if he's a Jew. Aval liyuchsin lo. Okay, but we won't let this baby marry anyone because we don't know what his status is. Ushmuel amar lefakeach halav etagal. So now we're going to deal with Shmuel. Umi amar Shmuel hachi? Could Shmuel really have said this? V'ha amar Rav Yosef amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. Okay, Rav Yosef passed down the name of Rav Yehuda, passed down in the name of Shmuel. Ein hochim b'pikuach nefesh achar harov. We don't follow dinei rov when it comes to pikuach nefesh. So now what do they say? Elaki itmar de Shmuel. When Shmuel said what he said, that it's the pakeach halav etagal, aresha itmar. What did he say? He was talking about the resha. That in rov Yisrael of de kochavim, ovei kochavim. Amar Shmuel ulapakeach halav etagal. Okay, so now what do they say? So that when Shmuel said it's the pakeach halav etagal, he was saying that in rov of de kochavim, then we treat him as an ovei kochavim, lapakeach halav etagal. Meaning, we don't allow us to do that. 1 second. Shmuel amar lefakeach hatalav, sorry. Ulefakeach hatalav etagal ain't okay. 1 second. Let me just get this straight for a sec. Lefakeach hatalav etagal ain't okay. Right. He's not, in other words, here we say, sorry. He's saying not that the halacha of this bright, this Mishnah was lefakeach hatalav etagal. It's dafka not relevant, this Mishnah, lefakeach halav etagal. He was saying, when it comes to pikuach nefesh, we don't follow rov. If there's a chance that this kid's a Jew, we're going to save this kid.
We don't need
okay?
rov.
We don't need rov. That's what he's saying. Lefakeach halav etagal ain't okay. Okay? Now they're basically going to go through these three things and say, so for what halachic purposes are these relevant? Okay, so we'll do this pretty quickly. Im rov ovdei kochavim, ovei kochavim, lamai hilchata. So what's that relevant for? Amar papa lahachilo nivelot. It's yes, we're going to support this kid, but can we give him non-kosher food? Okay, which is normally considered cheaper. Okay, so if the community is going to support this kid, and most of the people are non-Jews, we're allowed to feed this kid tray food. Okay? Im rov Yisrael, Yisrael, lamai hilchata. Amar papa lachzir lo aveda. We have a chiyuv la'ashiv aveda. Also, this is all, by the way, because the psukim say la'achicha. Okay, right? In many of these psukim, it mentions achicha. Achicha, they say, is a fellow Jew. So if you find an aveda of a Jew, you're responsible to return it. So if there's an aveda that belongs to this tino, you're only responsible to return it if rov of the people are Jews. Mechza mechza Yisrael. We treat him as a Yisrael l'may hilchata. Amarish lakish l'nizakin. When it comes to dinei nizakin, now, before we move on, you have to know one basic thing, which is shor nagach, okay? You know the halacha, shor, right? Your ox gores someone else's ox, it comes up in mishpatim. So, what do we say? If it's a shor tam that never hurt before, right, up to 3 times, you pay chatzi nezek. Once the shor is a shor mu'ad, where he's already been warned and he's done it 3 times, and then he's responsible, and the owner's responsible for full damages. But that's only Jew with Jew. But if there's an akum, a shor of a non-Jew, who gores a shor of a Jew, he has to pay nezek shalem. And the flip, if a Yisrael shor was nogeach a shor of an akum, he doesn't have to pay anything. Okay? So now, here we're going to have the relevance. Hechinami. What's the case then for nezakim? Inem a dinag chay Torah didam, one of our shores, a Jewish shor, was nogeach a Torah didei. Lemale, the owner will say to him, right? Aite raya di Yisrael at dushkol. I'm happy to pay you as long as you prove to me this shore was owned by Yisrael. And since you have no proof that this kid's a Yisrael, right? Then you have no proof. And then rove again doesn't work when it's a mosim chaver or alav haraya. So what do they say? Lo tzricha dinach Torah didei. It's a shore of an akum that attacked a Torah didan. He should be Mishalem, Palga Mishalem. Okay, if their shore knocked over our shore, then Palga Mishalem, V'idach Palga. Right, what does he do? If their shore hit our shore, right? So now, what would be the case? If it's an akum, he pays nezek shalem. If he's a Jew, what does he pay? Chatzi nezek. So what do they say? Since you don't have proof of either one, but at the minimum, what does he have to pay? Chatzi nezek. So what does he say to him? Palga mishalem. He pays the chatzi nezek, which for sure he needs to pay. V'idach palga, and the other half, he says, Amar lehu, I teraya delav Yisrael ana va'aten lechon. Prove to me that you're not a Jew, and then I'll, you know, then I'll give it to you. Okay? So fine. So that's the case of that, and that's where we say the relevance is for nizakim. Hadranach betula niseit. Okay, finished our first parak of Ketubot. Tomorrow we'll start the second parak. This is a real basic, you know, the sugya. This is one of the basic sugyas, because it's all about dine rov and how we, you know, how we translate it. And, you know, some people, by the way, I didn't bring this up, but some people say this whole din of kol kavod k'matzah, it's a chiddush. Once you say something's a chiddush, you don't have to exactly give a whole explanation for it. So, you know, I tried to give an explanation that to me seemed logical. Like I said, there's other explanations. Some people just say it's a chiddush and accept it as that. So, you know, that's also to keep in mind.
Doesn't have to be logical.
Right. So you could say, so what does it
that
mean?
It means,
give you another case where they say it's a chidush. Eid zomeim, okay? This is a classic case. Eid zomeim is when two witnesses come, right? It's all just, we don't know who to believe ever. You don't know who's lying, right? So two witnesses come and testify. Two other witnesses come and say, not that we disagree with you. If they say we disagree, you know, we think that guy didn't kill, we think someone else did, you know, then we throw everyone out of court and just contradict. That's called contradictory evidence. We don't know who to believe. But if two witnesses come and say, you couldn't possibly have said that because we were with you somewhere else, and therefore they're testifying about the Edim themselves, then we could, just like they could come and say you're robbers and robbers aren't acceptable in court, or you're the father of the guy, you know, we would believe them, so we believe them for this. Again, it's very hard, but who knows? Maybe the edim that are mizimim are lying. We don't really know. Mm-hmm. So again, when they get to a situation where it's a little bit hard to know why the halacha says this and why they're believed over them, so again, there's explanations given because they're not arguing about the goof of the edut. They're arguing against the edim, and then we accept it. But some approaches say it's a chidush. And that means that we have a masoret. It's been passed down to us, and this is the way it's meant to be done, even if you don't fully understand it. That's the approach, really. It's that's really the gisha.
If you have 10 hatas and you know one of them wasn't kosher, that you can eat them all just because of this row.
Yeah. Yeah.
But didn't we
exactly.
Learn, but didn't we learn this in?
We learned it also. Yeah, we saw it
in
Yivamot.
Like
we definitely had it. I'm trying to remember the context. Then we out. We did learn it. Just here is this is the makor. Like it all comes from our sugya. Like this is where everyone. Yeah, this is.